And now we have letters from the readers of the Norwich Evening News from the past 7 days. We start with two letters from readers who are not happy with the current state of Anglia TV.
Mr. C. Woodcock of Norwich claims that Anglia TV is not what it was. So Anglia TV recently celebrated 60 years. Really? The real Anglia TV disappeared a lot of years ago. They even call the news programme ITV News Anglia these days, and sometimes it is pre-recorded at about 5 p.m. Why you do need two people to present a 28-minute programme? Sometimes time is wasted promoting the national news as late as 6:20 p.m, 10 minutes before the programme starts. Some items are not local. They promote ITV programmes for later in the evening. In the early days of regional ITV, you had to bid for the franchise and prove you could provide for good TV, which Anglia did very well. Some TV companies lost their franchise when it was up for renewal, but Anglia TV kept theirs. Then the big TV companies gobbled up the small ones, and we had one big ITV, which meant the end of the local television, so now they can do what they like. It's not Anglia TV anymore, just a name on a building, which is now too big for its purpose.
Graham Murfitt of Littleport agrees. I must heartily agree with the sentiments of Mr. C. Woodcock's letter. I've watched Anglia News erode over the last couple of years, and this has accelerated over the last few months, to the point over 50% is not local at all. The presenters invariably introduce the article with some tenuous link to the region. We're then given several minutes' footage, obviously not filmed in the area. Anglia News, and about Anglia before it, has always had a well-liked and well-respected team of presenters, reporters and weather folk. So it is very saddening to see the programme ruined to the level it is. If ITV want to inflict this stuff on us, please shorten the programme, keep it local, and bung the rest in the ITV news. Can only feel for the likes of Jonathan Wills, Becky Jago, and Tanya Mercer, who deserve better.
Our final letter from Paul Milner of Sheringham puts forward views on driving at night and the problem of people not having adequate vehicle lights. It was a timely reminder in the recent motoring section regarding the fact 32% of drivers admitted to compromising safety while driving in the dark. The feature concentrated on tiredness, pointing out that driving while tired can be fatal. Unfortunately, the item missed one of the most common failings, that of vehicle lights. First and arguably, the most dangerous are those pretend motorbikes. You know, cars being driven with just one operating headlight. They are illegal and lethal to both the driver, the passengers and everybody else, and a head-on crash waiting to happen. Second, we have drivers saving their battery by driving at dusk on parking lights. Or no lights at all, because they can see, ignoring the fact that they are almost invisible, especially when driving the ubiquitous dirty grey car. Then we have those drivers who have no idea what that stalk on the left-hand side of the steering wheel is leaving the rest of us to guess, whether they might be about to turn left or right, or just are simply slowing down to take that oh-so-important phone call. Maybe random police roadside checks. Even the advertising of same would wake up some of these drivers. And that is all for letters for this week.